Hey everybody, Paul Brooks here. Welcome to the first B-Movie Mania interview of 2021. I had a great little chat with actor and filmmaker Roger Connors, who is based in Cleveland, Ohio, and just finished a Night of the Living Dead tribute film called Rebirth. I am a huge Night of the Living Dead buff, so I was really excited to talk with Roger about the process of making the film, as well as some other projects that he's working on right now. If you're a fan of zombie movies, you're going to want to check this one out. So let's get into it. Here's my interview with Roger Connors.
It's B-Movie Mania!
Roger, welcome to B-Movie Mania, and a very happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. Happy holidays. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very excited to talk to you about this film that you have been working on for quite some time, if I'm not mistaken, called Rebirth.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly how I found the Rebirth Facebook page, but that's how I initially found you. A couple years ago, I kind of got on this kick where, because Night of the Living Dead is in the public domain, basically anyone can make their own version of Night of the Living Dead if they want to. And so there's a lot of different, you know, obviously there's remakes and there's different takes on the film. And I kind of got a little bit obsessed with finding every different version that was out there. And so I started scouring Facebook, and that's how I found you. Initially, correct me if I'm wrong here, but initially the film was called Night of the Living Dead Rebirth, and now you have just shortened the film to Rebirth. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So stemming from what you mentioned with the whole copyright issue with the original Night of the Living Dead, you know, when this film was conceptualized and you know, started to come to fruition, it was always intended to be a tribute film, and I'm a diehard fan of the original movie. It's my favorite film of all time, so it was always meant to be done respectfully as more of a tribute piece to the original, you know, George Romero and his team. As we moved forward with it, and as we were filming, and as everything was coming together, we did get in communication with the Image 10 production, which was the original production company behind Night of the Living Dead. And we basically were communicating back and forth and getting a feel for what it was that they approved of with films such as this and what it was that they didn't respond so well to. Because obviously there's a lot of upset with the whole copyright issue. They're not necessarily pleased that it's in the public domain, understandably so. They don't see a lot of the money that they should be seeing from the original movie. And so they express that they, you know, support that the film can be, you know, replicated to a certain extent. But like the title, one of the things that they did openly request was, you know, we can't force you to change the title, but in an ideal world, you would not have the title Night of the Living Dead in it. That's because that's really where you're making a lot of these people are going out there. They're using the title Night of the Living Dead. They're throwing together these movies and they're making profit off of it. And I'm like, listen, my goal here is not necessarily, it's not to make money. I don't really foresee myself becoming a millionaire off this movie. I more want to tell my take of my favorite cinematic story. So I'm more than happy to change the title. And I, without any question, change it to Rebirth out of respect to the original team behind the original movie. So that was the reason for changing the title. I wanted to make sure that the Image 10 was treated with respect, and that, you know, the anything that they ran by us was honored. And that was the big thing.
Was that initially kind of a hard pill to swallow for you, or were you happy to do it as soon as they mentioned that?
You know, at first it was an area not of upset, but like of concern that I wouldn't be able to pull this off without having the title applied to it. But I also knew if that's something they wanted, I wasn't going to move forward with the title in place. Like, I mean, I've had distribution companies make offers on the film and want to reestablish the title. And I've confidently said, you know what, I'm not comfortable doing that, because this is something that I said I would honor, and I understand why. So, I mean, initially it was just, I guess, a little bit of a shock to the system, but I'd rather have them supporting the project, or at least not, if I'm not even necessarily supporting, but comfortable with the project existing, than have a level of upset from the original team behind the movie, where they're displeased with me as a fan. And because once they're unhappy, the fans are unhappy. And what's the point of making a retelling of a film if the original fan base is offended by it, you know?
Makes sense. You have their blessing, basically.
Yeah. I do. You know, I spoke with directly with one of the producers behind the original film, and that was all I really wanted, was like, as long as I can get your approval for this film to exist. And, you know, at that point, I didn't know if it was going to go beyond something on YouTube, or if it was going to get out to the public, or what. I just knew I wanted to screen it and have it seen. And as long as I have their approval of that being something that I can do, you know, to whatever extent, then I'm happy.
So tell us a little bit about the movie itself. Tell us about, you know, how the idea started. Tell us a little bit what you can about, you know, the plot, what the actual movie is about.
Sure. So, I grew up loving Night of the Living Dead from the age of 7. The first time I saw the movie, I was a child, and it traumatized me and it screwed me up. And but it also like opened my eyes to the genre, and especially to zombie films. And so it's something that I've always been really obsessed with. And there's specific aspects of the original movie that I just adore. And so I knew that, you know, when I was finally going to do this, I'd been working in independent film for probably like close to 10 years at that point. And I knew that this is something I wanted to do, but I wanted to be bold about it. I didn't want to just do a shot-for-shot remake. I didn't want to be a 90s psycho, you know? So I knew I wanted to make some changes. And the reasons for some of my changes were, when Romero created this, what is, you know, acknowledged as a masterpiece, one of the main reason for this movie being so recognized is, beyond just being a great horror film, it also is super relevant of the times. You know, it's a social commentary. And it touches on some really relevant topics of from that era, especially the, like, mostly acknowledged would be the racial aspect of having an African-American male lead in a time of great racial turmoil. And the movie came out a couple months after Martin Luther King was shot, you know? And that still resonates. It resonates now more so almost in some ways than it did then, because it's still boiling over, these tensions we have. But now there's a lot of other social disruptants, layers of issues going on in our society that I felt really kind of fell into place nicely with the story and how it tells itself. So I did make some changes, and the first thing I adjusted is, you know, I'm a queer male, I'm a gay man, and I chose to take the character of Barbara and make her a gay male named Adam. And that was the first big change I made, because it felt modern and relevant, and it didn't feel forced. And I was worried at first. I was like, God, this is such a bold change. How are fans going to take this? How are people going to take this? But again, if you're going to do a retelling, you've got to make bold choices, or what's the point, you know? Other than that, the Cooper family, especially, you know, Harry being the antagonist of the film, I wanted to make a bold choice with this. And so I chose to go kind of a Westboro Baptist church kind of route. And having, you know, that kind of mentality, along with an African-American lower class individual and a gay white man, all thrown into one location and forcing them to work together, it creates a whole new layer of tension and turmoil on top of what already existed within the original storyline, you know, between those characters. So that's like the big shift. I really just wanted to add some fresh social commentary that was relevant circa, you know, the 2010s. And it has taken me quite a long time to get this finished for several reasons, but I'm in a way it's a blessing, because right now, coming out of the political era that we're in the midst of, it's more relevant than ever. And so it feels very fresh, and I'm very proud of that fact.
That's great. And it's interesting to me that you kind of chose the character of Barbara to reform her character a little bit, because that tends to happen with her. It happened in the 1990 remake, you know, where they really remade her character into this badass, you know, take no prisoners, shotgun wielding sort of character. So I think that it's almost becoming a tradition to take characters like that and reshape them into something else.
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, especially with the character of Barbara, and I, as a child, I took to her character, and I don't even know what it was about her, because a lot of times you see her references like weak or like a cliche stereotypical portrayal of a woman from that era. And I never took her that way. I very much read into her character as a very human response to trauma. If you think of like what she experiences within the first 15 minutes of the movie, yeah, she shuts down, but she also, like, when she needs to snap to it, she's also one of the most proactive characters within the film. You know, she survives alone for a period of time within that movie. And I think her overall, her breakdown is something that a lot of people would experience. As much as I love seeing a Rambo-esque Patricia Tallman rendition of Barbara from the Savini remake, is that really like something I would believe in reality? In most cases, ideally, yes, but I'm way more likely to see people losing their mind in the midst of some kind of massive traumatic event. And so I think that I take to Barbara because I just think she's a very realistic portrayal, and I could have easily, you know, written the gay character to like come out as like being like the butch macho character who like saves the day. But I really was like, you know what? I want this character to feel human and relatable. And I think it would make sense to put him into that role, the role of the scared Barbara-esque, you know, character. I think it lended itself, you know?
That's a great point. I think that most of us would be the Barbara character from the original film, you know? Most of us would be scared out of our minds, I think.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes her character relatable. And a lot of, you know, I've seen her that role slammed in several reviews, but I think people come to expect from like a final girl or a lead girl mentality, these characters that like step up to the plate and are ready to kick ass. And in a lot of cases, that's just not the realistic solution. You know, I mean, it's great to see that. And I love strong female roles, but I also like seeing realistic portrayals of human beings, like I said, in the midst of trauma. I just think it's relatable, and I can completely understand where she's coming from.
Talk a little bit about some of the challenges that went into making this film from a filmmaking perspective. I know you've probably been on a pretty harrowing journey with this thing. So what was it like to put this entire project together?
Yeah, you know, I started conceptualizing it in 2013, and it was something that like, it started to move pretty quick. I got the script done pretty fast. And at this point, like, as I said before, like I've been working in indie film for a hot minute. I've been in an array of features. And I'd assisted behind the scenes to a certain extent, but I'd not taken on the full directorial title up until this point. And, I had had a few negative experiences as an actor on some sets. And I think I was really just yearning for, a set where I could just, if there was anything to blame, it would be me, you know, and if it went well, then I succeeded. So I took on the role of director, and I was green and I was young and I was, you know, reasonably inexperienced. And I think I bit off more than I could chew, but I was very determined. And honestly, the overall production aspect, like filming the movie, was pretty awesome. Like we had so much support, and I'm over 100 zombies. When people hear Night of the Living Dead, they pop up out of nowhere. You know, they come out of the woodworks and they want to be zombies, and it was great. It was really awesome, the amount of support we received. Where a lot of our issues kind of stemmed from was more from a tech aspect. We had some issues with we had some hard drive issues where we ended up losing a full, like, over an hour cut of the movie, and lost about 25-30% of our footage.
Ouch.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, again, you know, we were green and we were inexperienced, and it was a lesson to learn, you know. I now know that I need to ensure there are multiple backups of a hard drive for this, you know, in this situation. But, you know, at that time, it was something that I was really not prepared for, and I really thought the movie was, when that happened, I thought we were done. I thought the movie was finished, and I really kind of gave up on it for a hot minute just because I didn't have a solution at that point. But luckily, my editing team consists of some really phenomenal, driven, motivated, talented people, especially Michael Coons and Malachi Polte, who are my two key editors. And they really grabbed the bull by the horns, and they really lit a fire under my ass to see this through to completion. And what we needed to reshoot, we reshot. And there are some things, that some sequences in the film that were filmed 3-4 years after the original material, but through the power of editing, you know, we managed to bandage it together. And I'm really shocked that we were able to make something that looks as cohesive as it is, because I'm pretty thrilled with the final product. Back up your damn hard drives, just back them up. Like, that's, if anyone needs advice, it would be that, because honestly, it was pretty traumatizing. But in a way, like I said, I'm thankful, because the movie now as it stands is better than I ever thought it would be, and that's the honest to God truth. I'm not sugarcoating this. It's better than I ever anticipated it would be, and it's more relevant now than it was when we started filming it. And I don't know how that happened. I'm very lucky. But now is the time for this story to be told, and I really hope it resonates with people.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. Now that the movie's done, I know that you premiered it recently. What can you tell us about, you know, people who are listening right now? When will they be able to see it? How they can see it? I know that you've mentioned some stuff about a distribution deal. What can you tell us?
So we literally just signed the distribution deal last week. So we're going to be announcing here probably in the next 2 weeks the company we're going with. And the only reason I'm holding out is because, knock on wood, you never know what's going to happen, you know. But I can assure you that the movie is going to be seen. I'm pretty happy with the outcome of the distribution. I'm confident in the company we're going with. And once all of the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and, you know, so forth and so on, we will make an official announcement about that. So that's reason to look to our Facebook page for that announcement. But there is a distribution deal that's in the works, and it's all but confirmed online, you know. So once that happens, I would say it's just a matter of months before it's available for streaming and DVD and Blu-ray.
Well, congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you. I did not think this would happen, so it's great. I cried tears of joy at one point. Like, literally, the fruits of my labor are finally, you know, seeing some they're finally coming to fruition, you know? So it is a very satisfying feeling, you know?
As a filmmaker myself, you know, that's obviously what you work towards. And if you've been working on this since 2013, yeah, that's got to be a pretty good feeling to not only finish the project, but then know that people are going to be able to see it, and that, you know, there's going to be a real culmination of all the hard work.
Yeah. You know, I'll say, now that I've had a few reviews come out and starting to hear some feedback on it, one of the best things I'm hearing right now is that people seem to be acknowledging it as, like, a respectful tribute to the source material. And that it's pretty clear that we were intending to homage the original material more than anything. You know, there's a lot of little things that I think fanboys of the original movie are going to see, from the fact that, like, Adam's character wears the trench coat, very much stylized after Barbara's jacket, or the car that we use in the beginning is very similar to the vehicle in the original movie. And there's a lot of things that are hat tips to the original material, but then it also completely at times tells its own story. And I think that is the point of a remake, you know? So I hope anyone that views this, who is a fan of the original movie, sees the purpose for why we did it and realizes that we are just fans of the film and we love this movie. And we wanted to, much like books are, you know, animated by different illustrators time after time, The Wizard of Oz has been illustrated in so many different ways. It's just a different way to look at a classic story. That was my goal here, is just, this is my favorite story in the sense of when it comes to cinema, this is my favorite tale that's been told, and I want to tell it a little bit differently, you know?
That's great. I know you've been working really hard on this project for a while now, but I know that you also have other stuff going on, other projects and other things that you're working on. What would you like to mention that you have sort of, you know, upcoming?
So I have a film that recently came out that I would love to promote. It's called Teacher Shortage. It was directed by Troy Escamilla in Houston, and he is also the co-host of my podcast, Dark Knight of the Podcast. He's great. He's very talented, director of movies like Party Night and Mrs. Claus. So check out his works, but also check out Teacher Shortage. I'm pretty proud of it. Another film that has some great social commentary, relevant commentary on today. It's a slasher, and I think fans of 80s slashers are really going to lean into it and enjoy it. Aside from that, I've been working with my crew that finished up Rebirth. We're moving forward with another project entitled Domestic that we're looking to start filming in the spring. We've already done some trial footage, and it's a body horror film, so we've done some creature concept work. We're looking to do a lot of practical effects and really just kind of show off what we can do now that we've, you know, gelled together as a unit. So that is the other project I'm really looking forward to right now. The crazy thing about, you know, this last year, 2020, is it's been difficult to create. You know, as I'm sure if you, you know, you as a filmmaker, I'm sure you can understand that it's been a weird time, but it's also got us all kind of like stuck with this pent up artistic energy that we really all need to vent. So I just have like, there's lots of opportunities as to work as soon as this all lifts, you know, and I think there's going to be a lot of things to look forward to after this whole corona phase has moved on. But yeah, Teacher Shortage, check it out. I'm very proud of it.
At the beginning of this year, I had basically all the pieces in place to direct a zombie feature. And I haven't talked about it too much on this podcast, but obviously I had to put all of that on hold. So I totally understand what you're saying there. And we're looking to shoot it this coming summer now. And it's like just, you know, the excitement level is through the roof right now. So it's been tough, but, you know, there's definitely going to be some, hopefully some rewards coming down the pipeline here. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. And I guess I always try to look for what I call the gift in the problem. Like, you're given a situation that's like a hardship and, you know, Rebirth. That was a problem at one point. It was a big problem. It was full of issues. But now, looking back on it, if I didn't have those issues, I wouldn't have the feature I have now. And, you know, if with a lot of us creators, if we didn't have this last year to really kind of like base in our artistic juices and like really like time to focus on what is it that we want to create and give these projects the extra time instead of jumping into them. Not saying that you were going to jump into anything or I was, but you know, these extra year to really evolve these projects. I think what's going to come from that is going to be an elevated quality of cinema that we may not have had prior, you know?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that. I want to make sure that if people out there listening right now want to, you know, follow, keep up to date with everything that you have going on, Rebirth and your other projects, that they can do that. So plug your stuff.
Thank you. So across the board with social media, my tag is the Scream Queer. That is my go-to, The Scream Queer. So Instagram, I'm super active on Instagram. On Facebook, I have an official actor page, Roger Connors. You can find that as well. And then Rebirth does have an Instagram account that I'm trying to direct everyone to. Rebirth official movie page, I believe. Rebirth the movie. Rebirth the movie. Facebook, it's Rebirth official movie page. I'm sorry, I'm getting my social media lines crossed. But yeah, so and then I also just launched my official website, which is rogerconnors.com, which will just have all of those things available for you. So if you can't understand or translate what I'm saying, just go to my website and that will be provided.
And the other thing is that on bmoviemania.com, I will be sure to put links to all of that below, so that if you're listening on the website, you can just go right down below and find all of that. Roger, I'm so genuinely excited for you. I stumbled upon you and I asked you some questions in one of your Facebook Live videos, and I was struck by how genuine and kind you are, and I gravitate towards people like you. So congratulations and you know, continued success in the future.
Man, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And if, you know, when it comes to people within these chats or within these interview situations, like, we're all creators and we're all existing within this horror film community for a reason, because we have a love of the craft. So if we can't support each other and raise each other up and be kind to each other, then there's no point in doing it to begin with. So thank you for having me on your show. And I really appreciate your interest in my work. And in turn, I am interested in yours. And I wish you the best with all of your endeavors moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Roger.
Thank you, man.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They're touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!